Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
I had to play the whole
But we got it together.
Song.
That is the important
because
thing.
You were late.
Well, traffic,
and we had to
you
plug
know
up your stupid
LA
iPad.
Traffic is crazy.
I drove.
Well, you're closer though. You're like right at the good part of the traffic.
I entered the 101 around Hollywood and Highland, around the Hollywood.
Yeah, that's the good part. Like I hit traffic.
What time
back.
Did you leave?
Well, that's another question. Eddie.
Yeah.
Let's move on, shall we?
I left at 7:15.
You know, actually, you know what? I got here in 11 minutes.
I love 7:15
in rush hour,
and you care about this show more than I do.
I
you
should love
you should
being
leave
here,
way
Eddie.
Earlier
you
than
should
me.
Love being
you
here
should
too.
Leave way earlier than me.
How?
Because I'm half-assing
okay.
it all.
We
the time.
We didn't talk about this last week, so we've got to get to
what?
Your child that is AKA known as the Karate Kid.
He does. It's jujitsu. It's not karate.
Well, the
big difference.
The jujitsu kid doesn't have the same ring to it.
Difference.
You know. Come on now.
Big difference.
So he entered a jujitsu tournament.
He's been studying jujitsu for about a year and a half.
I don't want to say anything, but our special guest, she's a specialist in Krav.
In what?
Krav Maga.
Krav Maga.
She's not supposed
is
to.
Like
say
a giant. That's like a giant octopus, isn't it?
Oh, dude, it's actually illegal. Kraken. It's illegal.
Why is it illegal?
Because you can actually kill somebody.
Well, you can actually kill somebody with just a punch in the throat.
Well,
Matt,
but this is actually like a specialty form of martial arts that is illegal because it's such a badass sport. We're playing, what's that game where you, charades.
Well, we'll talk
charades.
We'll talk about that.
But tell me about this tournament. So how did he do? I already know how he did. But why don't you go ahead and brag a little bit?
No, he entered. What is that? Why is that bragging? Two smacks?
Like, because I'm doing a fight, you know? Like, I'm, you know.
You have no idea what jiu-jitsu is. There's no punching in jiu-jitsu. There's no smacking.
No chainsaws? No. I don't like it.
There's
no I'm gonging it. I don't like it already.
I should never plug that in.
Okay, so it's mostly holds and grapples and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's basically
See,
wrestling.
I think I didn't even know.
It's basically wrestling.
So, how long has he been training?
A year and a half.
And
I entered him in a tournament.
Okay, so were you like, you're ready.
Which is hard because he's 7 years old, but he's like 74 pounds. So
right.
He's not fat. He's just a big, heavy.
He's a tank.
He's very tall. He's like 98 percentile on everything. So he's big. And there's not a lot of kids that size. So he didn't have a lot of competitors. Like, he had, was it one or two other competitors? So they were all wrestling each other. He beat everybody.
That's crazy.
And he got the gold medal.
And he's how old? 7 years
Seven.
Old?
Seven.
So did he have to enter like a different league? Like the 8 and 9 year olds?
No. They do it so they have enough kids enter so they can kind of bracket them into the age and the weight.
So how many fights did he do?
He only had to do two fights because he won both of them, so they didn't have to do the third fight.
That's so they were like he is the undisputed
champion.
But
he got credit for winning the third fight because you won the first two, so they give you the third fight. So on his record,
he's 3-0
on the website. He's 3-0.
That's gonna make you proud. You must have been like, it's just a small tournament, but inside you were like, my kid is a badass.
He did good. I was worried because he's not. He's sort of a gentle giant. That's why I got him into jiu-jitsu because I wanted him to learn how to protect himself because he's just like such a loving kid. Like he doesn't. Have that.
You're like, I want to teach you
for
this.
For someone
so the
as
world
big and strong
over.
As he is, he could right. be a bully and beat the crap out of people, but he's the complete opposite of that. So I
so
want
you think
him,
he's going to be bullied because of that?
He was bullied. That's why I kind of.
Oh, so you were like,
jiu-jitsu.
Let me put him in some, you know, martial arts.
Because he doesn't realize his own strength. So I'm like, I want you to learn your body. I want you to know what you're capable of.
And he's like, geez, Dad, now I'm a champion. Now where do I go? And you're like, only to the top.
To the top. So that's why I did it. And it's, it, you know, you can't take that away. It's like to win a gold medal when you're seven and stand on that podium.
Hell yeah.
Like, that's confidence. There's nothing I can do that can instill that kind of confidence in him.
Absolutely. And you know what? I saw the pictures that you posted. And the kid, I don't know who the kid was who was number two, but he was like looking at Colton's medal like, man, I sure wish I tried a little harder.
Well, he just got beat the fuck down. That's why. He just got beat the fuck down.
You're bad. You're bad.
No, it's like, it's one of those things. Wait, like, you can't give a kid that type
of confidence. Are you a little worried that your son may kick your ass at some point?
He already could. If he takes my right. If he gets behind me and gets on my back and puts me in a chokehold, there's nothing like he's done it before.
Wow.
And I have to tap.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Next time you come over, I will have him do it to you. And there's not, I mean, so I could take him and fling him across the room, but I don't want to kill him. Like, right. There's no way for me to get him off unless I do the tap and then he knows to let go.
Wow. And so how long was his fight?
Or his fights? Kids in jiu-jitsu in the tournaments, that age group, they do 4-minute fights. 4-minute wrestling matches.
Were you hearing, you're the best around?
Because it's not karate.
Well, but there's no jiu-jitsu like movie like that. Is there? Like maybe
I don't know.
Into the Rumble or something?
I don't know. Probably not. So, but anyway, so that's, he did it.
You must have made you a proud.
I was very proud. Because to see your son do something like that and gain that sort of confidence, it's something.
Huh.
All right.
No, you know what? That's awesome. Honestly. And was Tracy just like, Eddie, don't get him too cocky now.
No, she was like, wanted to throw up. She was so nervous.
Oh, man. Why, you thought he was going to lose?
Well, you don't know. Because, like, in class, he's joking around and goofing around. And then, like, he won his first match. And then his coach said, if you win your second one, you get the gold medal. And then he just had, like, the... Like,
you could just he see went it. Over the top?
You could see it on his face. He just went, like, I'm going to kill this kid.
Did you give him a pep talk or anything?
No, because I wasn't allowed on the floor because just him and his coach. So the coach had to do all that stuff.
That's awesome.
So that was cool.
Well, you got to let me know next time. I'd love to see a little.
He's supposed to have one this Sunday, but they got canceled. So I think we're going to do one in a couple weeks.
So is he advanced like into another?
Well,
like,
he got a belt promotion. Now he's the gray-white stripe belt.
Nice, dude.
So
he was a white belt. You're getting cocky.
He was a white belt. Now he's got the gray-white stripe.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I had a crazy weekend. Yeah. I went to Del Mar Fairgrounds to see Ziggy Marley perform.
Play your song.
Dude, it was awesome because he played in front of 10,000 people, like just about, just around.
Does everybody know the lyrics? Was everybody singing the song?
Dude, it wasn't like that because the album's only been out for like maybe 6 months. Mm-hmm. But you could see like the crowd response, people dancing and like after the song. That's really where you can tell like if something's hitting or not. Mm-hmm. And some of his songs don't really hit, I think, as hard as others. But it was awesome and the response was amazing. And I was just sitting here thinking, this is crazy. And the cool thing is I saw him open the tour with it. And the second show I saw, which was this weekend, was he played it second. So I'm seeing him in 2 weeks. I'm like, maybe I'll play it third. I don't know. But it was awesome. We got to hang out with
him.
He'll
bring you up to play with him.
Well, maybe one day. Maybe one day. But you know what? It was pretty cool. We got to hang with the whole band.
Yeah.
Got to hang with him for a little bit. And it was very surreal. I was actually thinking about you. I was like, you know, I don't – like, usually you're in the band and you're doing the performance and mm-hmm. you're feeling that energy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool to actually be outside, not have to worry, and just enjoy the song and just like watch, like be an observer mm-hmm. and see how it like the response. So I was thinking about you because you're always like, yeah, I'm not really into writing for the comics. But dude, it would be amazing to see somebody. You don't think of like you don't think of like Kevin Hart did one of your jokes in front of a whole stadium and people just laughed their asses off. No enjoyment?
And I'm like, fuck, I want that laugh.
You're like, I'm selfish. I want it.
When it comes to laughs, yeah.
Yeah, but you could always still do it, and it'd be fine for you to do it.
I wouldn't.
Why?
Wait,
you have to sign it away? Like, I could start it up if I wanted to. I mean, no, I wouldn't do it now.
Comedy? No, you can't. Once you give someone, does that joke, that's their joke. You can't.
Well, that's tough. Yeah, it's a little different.
That's
comedy.
That's different.
Well, there's that. There's always that. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty amazing. I got to meet him again, and this time I got a picture with him. The first time I was like, oh, this is pretty cool.
And he was like, who is this guy? He's like, this guy is bothering me.
Get this guy out of here. Seriously. You know, did you see my brother's comment? He was like, which one's Ziggy Marley? It's pretty clear who Ziggy Marley is. I was like, you're a jackass. But I love him. But anyways.
All right, ring your dumb doorbell.
Oh,
there it
yeah.
is. There it is.
Looks like our special guest has arrived. Special singer, songwriter, Krav Maga. Specialist, should I say?
Hi.
Say hello.
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 I felt tortured not being able to participate in the conversation.
You're like, I want to just talk about it. Well, let's talk about Krav Maga for 2 seconds, because I know you were ready to chime in.
Sure.
You're like, so how did you get into that real quick?
I was given the opportunity to do a music video, and it shot in New York, and I thought, well, what a better way than to get into a gym and do some cardio, and some girlfriends were doing it, and I was like...
And learn illegal martial arts.
And at the same time, I became very quickly equipped with all kinds of things that in the street don't play off in the cage. So yeah, what we meant by illegal was that you can't use them in a mixed martial arts.
Gotcha.
In the cage.
That's right.
Yeah, because they're lethal strikes.
Wow. Isn't that crazy? I mean, the more I find out about it, and I think...
Do most of them pertain to the throat? I mean, what's a lethal strike?
Our Krav Maga handshake is a kick to the groin.
Wow. Really? Did you greet Eddie like that?
No.
I'd like to see that. Thank God. He was the first person I saw that.
Yeah, met in the elevator.
Next time, you have full rights. Just give him a Krav Maga, hello.
Handshake.
The handshake.
Straight to the groin.
Congrats to your son, by the way. That's incredible.
And you've been competing a little bit too, right?
No, I teach and I train. I dabbled a little bit in MMA, but really, for me, it's an opportunity to empower women and... learn how to stay in the present moment and, be of service to my community.
Look at
this. By kicking ass.
I love this girl. She's amazing. And, dude, this girl has some serious pipes. This girl, there's some girls that can sing. Like, yeah, that's pretty. That's nice. Yeah, it's cute. Yeah. This girl can sing her ass off. And the first time I heard her sing, I think it was in some... little restaurant or club that we played.
She was telling me the story when he came in.
And you sat in
while we were waiting for you.
Thrill Is Gone. That's right.
As you were late.
Oh, man.
The show.
And I was like, damn, this girl can sing her ass off. Like, it was like, ooh, you don't usually get that. You usually get I can sing a little bit. But this girl laid it down and was just like, wow. So, yeah, this girl has some serious pipes. She can sing all styles. But let's talk. Let's go back to little Jadina getting into music. How did you get into music? I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
That's awesome. So no tricky questions
yet. No.
Yeah, see? No curveballs.
he'll get weird.
So I was raised on Little Mermaid. When it came out, I was 3 years old, and Ariel was my hero. She was my go-to. And I was also raised in Santa Cruz, which is a surfer town, so mermaids were very common in my household, and then came Mariah Carey and Celine Dion and Christina Aguilera. And
how old were you? You must have been 7 or 8.
A little younger. And then there were talent shows in my school, so I was automatically drawn to the stage and performing and plays. And from there, it was just like, here I come, world, watch out. I mean, my grandma says I came out of the womb wailing, so I got to give her that. I've always been a screamer. I've always been a belter.
Do you remember the first song that you went up and sang, in a talent show?
Mariah Carey, Without You.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
That's great. Those are some big shoes to fill.
But for real, though, we taped it over a tape. And, remember back in the day when we didn't have CDs?
Yeah. Of course.
And it was this little cassette tape, and I taped it over because I had to record the version over the tape. Anyway, it was a long story, but I got on stage, and it didn't play.
Oh,
so my dad had to go get the actual tape of the Mariah, whatever.
And you sang over it?
I sang over it.
Whoa.
It was so cute.
That was awesome.
We didn't even have a video recorder at that time. Wow. I didn't even think I had it on video anyway. Anyways, so
dude, that must have been a little
a moment lost in time.
I look back for that little girl and I'm like, wow, she was ballsy.
Yeah.
She just did it.
I would have ran off the stage.
That's the great thing about youth. It's like you don't have those hang-ups when you're that young. You're just like, fuck it.
Gold medal, right?
Yeah.
No worries, guys.
No worries. Like, you don't realize what you're doing.
Until you get older, and then you're just like, I ain't doing this.
Well, then the world beats you down.
And social media.
Nice shot, Eddie.
Thanks. Did you make it?
Look at you, Eddie. He's so cocky about it. He just did it and just pretended like he does it every day.
He's comfortable. He's great.
Apparently. So you got into Mariah Carey. You got into Christina Aguilera, and then when did you think, I want to do this as a career?
I knew.
You knew that young?
I knew that young.
Wow.
Damn.
I knew that was my calling. I knew then and there.
That's crazy.
This was my gift to the world. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to create. It took me a long time to separate from it being who I was versus something that I do and how I give back.
When did you have that realization?
I'd say probably in the last couple of years, doing a lot of work. And
that you're more than just that? Or
that's not what defines me.
Right.
You know, that just as a human being, I'm good.
More. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Totally. But you're a pretty badass singer, too, let's be honest.
Thanks.
Let's be honest.
I'm just trying to, keep up.
Oh, hey now.
I remember with walking Eddie? In and kidding. Seeing you sing and being like,
I can beatbox.
My friend, our mutual friend
this
brought
guy's
us.
Charming.
And he was belting and I was like, this guy can sing.
That's right. You hear this, Eddie?
Mm. He can really
go
sing.
On, Janina.
It's the second time I've heard it.
Yeah, I told him the story before you got here. So.
No, seriously. And you know what? Like, the thing is, a lot of girls say they can sing. Like, I'm telling you this. I'm being completely honest.
No pressure.
But when this girl sings, it's like, holy Jesus, I see the universe. I see, like, magic. It's like, this girl... No, I'm serious. And every time. We just jammed, like, maybe a month ago at John's birthday party. Remember that? And she was just, like, killing it.
You didn't bring a guitar to a birthday party, did
you?
No, I didn't. Okay.
They had a whole setup.
Well, like, if it's there, it's fine. But if you're bringing it to the
party... But you know what's so funny? The strap was so tiny on me that my guitar was, like, way up here. It was like, this is not comfortable.
As long as you're not bringing guitars to parties.
No, I'm not that guy.
Okay. Dude, I was asking.
I barely like to bring my own guitars to my
gigs. That's why I was asking.
But, Jadina, you also used to surf like quite a bit, correct?
Used to.
Well, you still do. Used to compete, right?
So I've started swimming when I was 6 months. A little less than 6 months.
Jesus.
And
like
I was at the
You
bottom.
Are a mermaid.
Totally. My dad was, you know, avid surfer my whole life, and at 2 and a half, I was starting to surf and swimming in really deep water and started competing very young. I mean, in Santa Cruz, the community is very small, very tight-knit, and surfing is, you know, integral to our lifestyle and junior lifeguards, and I lived right by the water, so it was just kind of my church. It was my meditation. It was my go-to. It was my community. It was my connection to the world, and around 13, I was given kind of the opportunity. I had sponsors at the time. I was doing a lot of competitions and winning and getting into that, like, wow, this could really take me somewhere. And it was like, music, do I cut a record? Surfing, do I just start, you know, really take off? And I gave myself
do I live
an
on
ultimatum.
The beach and not wear shoes ever again?
Right? Do I just live that lifestyle and put music as just a passion?
Yeah.
And then I said, well, I can surf on tour.
Wow. That's, you know what's crazy when you make that decision in the crossroads? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like...
And that's two, like, things two I'm loves. Super awesome at. Let me decide.
Yeah. Most people are trying to figure out one thing they're okay at. No, I know. No, but those are two really spiritual things, too. Mm-hmm. And, like, really kind of... like, they give you so much connection to, like, something bigger than yourself. You know what I mean? So it's pretty hard to choose between the two, but it's cool that you went through music. So when did you ever study with anybody? Did you ever, like, what got you into, like, okay, I want to be into the crazy mode of just learning everything I can and just singing everywhere I can?
So my dad was a badass construction dude, and I was just raised by my pops, and so he was working all the time and, you know, making those paychecks, and I essentially tucked myself away in my room and just blasted Mariah, Celine, Whitney, Christina, Aretha, Etta. I mean, the list goes on and
wow.
on and on. And I just literally sang over them over and over and over and over again until my range developed. And then I took the time to really sit back and be like, well, what is my sound? How do I differentiate what's mine and what's theirs? And, you know, there's still times where I'll do a riff and I'm like, God, that sounds like a Christina riff, or that sounds like a Mariah riff. And I have to really look at that and say, hey, where's me in this?
Were you shunned by the surf community for singing songs like that? Because it doesn't seem like those, like Mariah Carey and surfing community.
That's a good question.
Go hand in hand.
Great question. Never had that one before. But
well, it just seems weird.
You want me to take them out?
No, because I know I know surfers, and that group of people doesn't seem to jive with.
Actually, no, that's a really good question.
I don't need to wear heels or any type of crazy clothing to sing.
Right.
Right? So at the end of a surf contest, when everybody's sitting down for dinner and the awards are about to be given, hey, come up here and sing a song for us a cappella. Right?
Wow.
They're a supportive community. Like, they've always had my back.
Well, that's
I know
cool.
that home is Santa Cruz, and...
And they love music, too.
They love music.
It was just like that type of music with the people I know that are like huge in the surf culture doesn't seem to be the same. What are you trying to say, Eddie? I've never seen... Somewhere out there, there's
a surf community that loves Mariah Carey,
Spicoli listening to Christina,
you're so stereotypical.
It just seems weird.
Let's just put it this way. My dad, who's been surfing for over 40 years, who loves the Beach Boys and Dick Dale and
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that type of...
I put on Mariah, and he'd be like, turn it up.
That's awesome.
That's cool. I didn't know. It just seems like two different communities.
You know, there's
like,
hope for you yet, Eddie. There's hope for you yet. It's not just all about Pearl Jam.
It's just
see?
A question. See? But Pearl Jam surfers. I can
no,
see that.
True. No, I get that. No, it's a good question.
I like
and
that.
Usually a lot of surfers love reggae and don't really get out of that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's very specific things when you think of the surf culture of like different types of like certain types of music and style and And then there's certain types of, when you think of like that type of music, doesn't seem to, and it's just cool that you had, you know, you were so good at both, or in passions of both.
Do you need a shovel or
a shovel for what? I'm a curious question. Like,
I like that question.
My God, it's okay.
Sorry, I don't lob up softballs.
No. Ooh. Hey, oh, yeah. Getting crazy.
Yeah. Round one goes to.
I just want to know, dude, like dude, how
she taught me some Krav Maga greetings. So
I will just kick you careful, in the balls. Right?
Yeah,
straight up kick you in the
that,
balls.
That long range weapon.
I thought it was an interesting question.
All right, so when did you cut your first record?
I cut my first record when I started it when I was about 13 and a half, 14, and it was all covers. And it was Spanish and English songs, because I'm half Puerto Rican. And
I didn't know that.
Christina released a Spanish album, and I was all over that. And I did it in Santa Cruz, and it was really fun. It was my first experience. It was an analog experience. Everything was done on tape.
Wow, you recorded on analog back then?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was intense, because I didn't really even know or could like capture what the experience was that I was getting privy to.
That's nuts.
Today you just push a button and then walk away. You know?
There's nothing
like that. I don't, but that's what happens.
No, right. And did you have musicians come in and track, or did you play? Did you sing to it?
No, they had this like karaoke sound choice company that you would like send off for the disc to be sent back in the mail. With the there was no computer.
Wow.
There was no like download.
Wait. So your mix was like track and Jadina.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And background vocals and.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So did you sing ever in like a chorus or anything? Like how did you
did
learn
you shoot
how to do
a cover
backgrounds?
For it? What was the cover photo like?
I had a surfboard on my head.
What was the cover art?
Seriously, I had a surfboard.
That's
on
what
my
I want to see. I want to see the cover art.
And I was on the lifeguard tower for the front.
And what were the song? What were some of the cover songs you say?
I did Here, There, and Everywhere by the Beatles. I did Declaration of Love by Celine Dion.
That's for your dad, right?
For sure.
Yeah, see?
I did Leanne Rimes, How Do I Live? I did Por Siempre Tu, which is I Will Turn to You by Christina Aguilera.
That's Eddie's favorite.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if some guy's in a record shop and he sees a girl with a surfboard on a lifeguard tower and picks it up and takes it home and he starts playing Christina Aguilera songs, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
This was a time when I could walk into Streetlight Records in Santa Cruz and be like, will you sell my CDs for me?
That's awesome.
Right?
14, 15, 15
Dude,
years
that's
ago.
So ahead of the game. I mean, it's crazy that you had that much vision to be like, I want to cut a record, and I want to, like, gig and do that at 13. That's crazy. Yeah. I was like, while you were doing that, I was like, damn it, algebra sucks. You know what I mean? Like, you were so ahead of the game. That's crazy. So you cut your record on vinyl. Did your dad say, yeah, I like this picture? No, put this... Like
no, my dad
font.
Was my biggest champion.
That's awesome.
We pulled in he pulled in resources, and I mean now looking back, 15 years later, I'm like, if I had a dream, that guy was gonna make it happen.
Wait. So what? So it wasn't CDs back then, or was it?
It was.
Okay.
But you had to buy them in bulk, and you had to buy them in mass, and
you had to buy like 1,500 of them, or 2,000 of
and
them.
And I was street performing at the time, so we would bring out a little table, and I would put up my boombox and sing to the whole crowd, and. You know, it was really an opportunity to just be in my community. And there were also a lot of other talented people from Santa Cruz that have really, you know.
But you took them all out with your Krav Maga, right?
I played. Have you ever played Moe's Alley in Santa Cruz?
I have.
That's one of my favorite venues up there.
Great sound.
And I played a place called the Crow's Nest. Yep. Is that place still there? I have no idea.
Listen, the manager Blaine and I go way, 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 way back.
Yeah, Blaine.
He will always book me when I go there. That stage, I literally learned how to connect with an audience.
Yeah.
Once a month, I played there with every band for years and years and years.
They were good to us. And then one year, I remember I had my wisdom teeth pulled, and I called Blaine. I'm like, dude, I got my wisdom teeth pulled. We got a gig in 2 days. He's like, just do whatever you can, man. And so I came there, and we just did an acoustic set. And there was some other manager there, and he just was like, where's the band, man? I'm like, dude, I can't do a band show. I just had my wisdom teeth pulled, man. He was like, well, that's just not acceptable. I was like, dude, go fuck yourself. Like, come on.
Shout out to the Crow's Nest in Santa Cruz.
I do love the Crow's Nest. And Blaine is awesome. But anyways, Santa Cruz, I got nothing to
love. That's
how
you burned that bridge?
Well, you know, sometimes it happens. I was like, I'm never playing here again. All right, let's fast forward to, you had something really cool happen with some track affiliated with Coca-Cola, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that. Go ahead, tell me.
So,
tell me.
I learned a couple of years ago that there are multiple ways to get your music out and make revenue in this industry. And one of those for me was placement in TV and film. And I worked with a company and some specific people that gave me an opportunity to pitch a cover version of Robin Beck's First Time, First Love in a pool of like 1,000 other artists who were pitching to Coca-Cola. They're celebrating the 100-year anniversary of the Coca-Cola bottle with 14 different campaigns, Kiss Happiness, Kiss Love, you know, First Time, all these different types of themes, if you will. And we pitched for one of them. And they liked our version.
That's awesome. And it was like a global like sensation, right? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
You never know when you do something what's going to happen with it on the other end of it. So what I found is when I work with people that I love and I vibe with and create really good chemistry in the studio with, the product speaks for itself.
Right.
And it landed, it was supposed to be slated for like 13 countries. It ended up in, I think, over 40 all
That's
over the world.
Crazy.
They ended up having us cut a full-length version of it. It was initially a 30-second song. It was number one most Shazam song in the UK.
Shazam.
Shazam? Actually significant because Shazam is actually a UK company. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh,
that's a big deal.
Mm. So for us to be able to have that kind of experience, you know, being that little girl on stage in first grade doing the Mariah Carey cover song, thinking, I'm going to have a number one some way, somehow, someday.
And you did it
on your own terms. No pun intended, someday Mariah Carey. Got you, girl. to be able to have that was like, wow.
And you did it on your own terms. That's like in this market right now, it's kind of like a free-for-all. Like you got to figure it out. It's like, figure it out.
It's overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. I mean, I don't have a manager. I don't have a label. I have a few select people that are in my corner that are helping support my brand, my idea, my image, my vision. And outside of that, like, everything comes to me.
You hustle, though. I mean,
I'm the first person that goes, do we do this or do we not do this? And I have people that I support. But the influx that's coming and happening now, it's overwhelming. And if you don't know who you are, what you stand for, what you believe in, and what your brand says, and it's not idiot-proof, it's just a recipe for disaster. You have to know.
I love this girl's awesome.
She's so for anybody that's out there that's struggling, like, you know,
you can do it.
You can do it. Props to you. Take your time. Plan accordingly. Don't say yes to every opportunity. Pick and choose wisely and be in the moment.
Ooh, that was good. I was like, what's she going to say?
She had to look for the moment and then she found it.
She was like,
and then said it.
How am I going to end this? Here's the dismount and let. She sticks the landing. All right, let's get to this first track. What are you going to play us first?
Okay, so I haven't played this song anywhere.
Okay.
Ooh, world premiere.
Ooh, ish. Like kind of.
Ish.
So this version of it. August 20th, I am playing a show in downtown LA with three other ladies. You can go to my fan page or my Instagram. My name is Jedina, G-E-D-I-N-A, and I will be launching this song. It's called Only Bleeding. And music video will be launching. It'll be on iTunes, all of that. And if you want to come see me live and all these amazing other women.
As you should.
What's the venue?
It's this cool little spot. I want you to go to the website and
check it out. See? Target marketing, Eddie.
Yeah, you got to come say hello. If you have questions, you can DM me, email me, all that kind
was
of
that
stuff.
Was that direct mail? Is that what you, was that the...
That's, yeah, direct message.
He told me before this that's interview, he was
PM,
like,
I'm like,
I don't even know social media.
He is.
Dude,
no.
I was, I'm,
he doesn't
I'm
know
terrible.
Dick.
I'm like
it's
bad
okay.
at that stuff. I hate it.
But he
just,
hustles. So
I hustle, but I'm like, social media.
He hustles for like someone in 1997.
That's very true.
That's yeah. beautiful, so though.
He doesn't true. Hustle 2016.
That's very true. No.
He has a really cute dog, so
that's
can
true.
You him?
See, Eddie?
No, again.
What?
Loyalty here.
Don't make me cut you. All right, let's get back to this track.
Oh, yeah.
You can DM me about Otis later.
Speaking
gonna,
of cutting.
Am I gonna sing this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Can I set the mood? I really have to set the mood.
Oh, yeah.
I totally. Just turn the lights off.
The lights are off, everybody. Lights. That's the mood at home. If you're listening right now, turn your lights off.
All right.
Okay.
You got the track, right, Eddie?
Only Bleeding.
You singing it, right?
I'm singing it.
All right. Yeah. Dude, this is awesome. I'm excited.
Here
all
we
right.
go.
I won't say anything else.
Thank you. quits. When I heard you talking over my song, you didn't want to hear me then. Why should I listen now? Fighting this back and forth, every one of your blows goes right through me. Such a waste of time, 'cause it doesn't even hurt at all. Now you're in the way, moving closer, saying it ain't over, 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 over. Makes me wanna drown you, drown you out. 'Cause I'm wholly bleeding. Who hasn't seen a little blood before? Only bleeding. Who hasn't seen a little blood before? Who hasn't seen a little blood before? You can't claim me as a win, 'cause without me there is no price to keep. I'll admit you had me going for just a moment, fighting this back and forth. Every one of your blows goes right through me. It's such a waste of time, 'cause it doesn't even hurt at all. Now you're in the way, moving closer, saying don't let it be over, 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 over. Makes me wanna drown you, drown you out. 'Cause I'm wholly bleeding. My present, working on me, my future, 494 days, no more bleeding out, craze, 105, planes float like fireflies. Who hasn't seen a little blood before? Oh, who hasn't seen a little blood before?
Dude, you know what's crazy is, like, your vocals are so good that you're sitting in the studio doing it live, and your recorded vocals, it's so consistent. It's just like, oh my God, there's like four of her all at once, just like going through that song and just killing it. It's Thank awesome. You. Job well done. That is not easy, too, to do to a track.
It's so fun.
Dude, you're so good at it.
I thought you were bringing guitar. I thought you were bringing guitar. We could do something.
You know what? I was going, I was rushed. Dang. It was crazy. I was doing a session. She's just awesome. She is awesome.
Thank you.
My goodness. So tell me, what was the inspiration behind that song?
So everybody goes through stuff in life. We all learn. We all have experiences. I hoped that I would have different types of experiences in my life that would force me to learn. And what I realized is that, you know, if you get a cut and it bleeds, you're not dying. You don't die, right? You scab your knee when you're a kid, it bleeds, you cry for a minute.
But kills you, makes you stronger, kind of thing.
Essentially, yeah. And because I practice in that space in the gym while I'm training and I'm doing these martial arts and I'm getting these bruises, I mean, I got bruises all over me right now from doing 360 and inside defense and all these different things. Like,
can you show me on Eddie?
Yeah, sure.
Beat the hell out of Nikhil for me. Thank you. Please.
That, like, the pain in some ways, physically, it has helped me to realize that I didn't die.
Right.
You know, I'm stronger as a result of it.
You go through it and you just.
And I got a shout out to all the people that have been teachers in my life, whether they're a part of my life now or not a part of my life for whatever reason. Like, those experiences gave me the opportunity to heal those parts of me that maybe I wasn't my best self in.
Right.
Right? Those experiences, man, I'm so grateful for them.
And how did you choose, like, the style? Because you've done, like, blues, soul, rock, dance, electronica, like, everything. So how did you choose the direction of what you wanted to do with the track?
All I gotta say is there's a million producers in the city, and when you find one, and you find one that makes you feel entirely comfortable to be exactly who you need to be in that moment to serve the song, stick with that person.
Yeah.
When I found that person in that studio and that space and that team, Angel House Studios, Drew Kapner, man, Ben DeJong, that whole crew down there, they just provide this cloud and they push me to be the best version of me for the song.
So they give you the beat and then you just wrote over it, or did you do it together collaboratively? How did you do it?
I mean, every song is different. This song specifically, I wrote essentially for 2 years, and I went through, I think, 5 or 6 different producers with this song. And I was just not happy. Again, I was like, this isn't it. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't hit. This isn't me.
Yeah.
And then I brought it to Drew, and I said, Drew, like, this is my idea.
I love the change in the groove on the bridge. That's awesome.
A little
trappy. Oh, man. It's so, like, you hear that, Eddie, when it just, like, totally shifted?
Mm-hmm.
That was I love that stuff. Like
when
music, like, when you're grooving on something and then it does something totally unpredictable, I'm like, yes, take me there. Like, just let me just go there. That's awesome. I love when music does that.
I had a period in my life where I was living in downtown LA for a long time, and then I moved to Gardena, which is, like, close to the hood but not the hood.
Right.
And when I moved there,
getting close to your Puerto Rican.
Yeah, I really got into this space of, like, hip hop music and really just diving in, and a lot of that culture really, and that environment, that neighborhood, the people, just the realness of that, like, influenced my ability to flip it up, you know?
And I like how, like, the groove is, like, loungy. It's like that thing, like, you just want to, like, you chill somewhere, party with some friends, maybe a pool party or something, just listen to that. It's like, yeah.
It's just the beginning.
It's grooving. So is this the beginning of, are you doing a couple different releases? How you doing this release?
So there, I like how I start every sentence with "so there."
Hey, it's powerful.
It's,
I like,
exciting.
It.
Exciting. There has been a long period where I haven't released music. I've just been single after single after single. I think I've released 6 or 7 singles in the last 5 years since I was on The Voice, and just formulating this sound. I finally have 7 songs for an EP that we'll be releasing towards the end of this year. And I've already started my next record, or my next album, full length. And it's all gelling. It's all the same sound. And it's progressive. It's very much not what you're hearing right now, which is very cool.
That's awesome. And I'm sure, like, you've had, like, a lot of producers kind of shape your earlier songs or records. Maybe you didn't think, like, this is not what I would have done now. But now you look back on it and you're like, I've learned from all those experiences, and now you've come to that place where you're like, I've got the vision of the song, of the music that I want to make. Right. Tell me, like, what that process was like, because that's definitely empowering.
So at 15, I was introduced to blues. I mean, it was a long time, big pop female vocal. That was it. That was my world.
I hear it in your licks. It's awesome.
And then at 15, I discovered B.B. King's The Thrill Is Gone, and it changed my life. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be a blues singer for the rest of my life. Done. And I just played in blues bands. Straight blues. I had a 12-piece band at one point. I had a 3-piece band. It just didn't matter. Whatever the venue was, we're doing blues music, nothing else. And I went to some labels. I went to some bigger blues labels. And they were like, you're really good. You're really talented. But you're a pop singer. And we can't sign you. And it's devastating.
You're like, what?
I'm like, no. I just toured Missouri, Oklahoma.
Wow.
And, like, these middle states, and I just played straight blues for a smoke-filled bar and want to do that 363 days out of the year for you and me to do this, and we can't come to some sort of, like...
Because labels are dumb.
They're scared.
They're scared.
Well, they're scared for blues labels because they want a blues singer that's not going to pop, you know, cross over. And I had too much of that crossover flair for them. And that's okay. You know, that's their wheelhouse. I respect them. They have got incredible artists.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, blues music needs singers like you. Like, that's what's missing in blues music right now. Like, there are no Etta James.
I mean, have a country, so you think blues would try to be doing the same formula.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's
a...
Oh, that was close. Sorry.
It's like a niche market, and like they love it's pure. And I, hands down, we'll go any day just to listen to a straight slide guitar. Slide guitarist play with nothing. Just
like Derek Trucks. Derek Trucks. He's one of my favorites.
I mean, he makes that guitar sound like a you know, a gospel singer.
Yep. Totally. Totally.
I'm so blown away by
that. Yeah, but you know what? That's what I'm saying. It's like I'd rather. I mean, and I'm not just saying this. Like, I like Susan Tedeschi, but I think you can sing the shit. Like, you can sing Circles Around Her, and I've heard you do it, and I've heard her sing, but I've heard you sing, and it's like, that's what blues needs. It's like, it needs that. But aside from that.
Aside from that.
Go like, from, go, tell me, like, what that was like. You went through that period.
I essentially found, like, okay, blues is not my world. I'm not going to make 12-bar blues records for the rest of my life. I have all of these songs that do not fit into that world. And pop allows me this, pop as an entire genre allows me the space to carve out whoever it is that I want to be.
Right.
And it's a huge market, and it's also the most competitive and the hardest. You know, being a single pop female vocal in LA is essentially the hardest category to compete in. And I'm okay with that. Because I'm not doing it for that reason. Of course, I want to make money and continue to create beautiful music.
Well, you want impact. You know, it's like you want people to like, you want to love the music, and you want people to love the music that you're doing.
And I can say that what we've done so far has been successful.
That's awesome. That's exciting.
Went number one in Europe. I can't say that it's not, there's no value to what we've done. So I'm really excited about this next project. I'm going to release the EP. It's going to be 7 songs. Maybe that's a little bit too much information.
And you're releasing August 20th, is that right?
I'm releasing Only Bleeding August 20th, okay. And then the EP will probably be later in the rest of the year.
And what's the style of the rest of the music?
It's pop, but it's big.
I hear Eddie breathing really loud. Go ahead.
Eddie doesn't have any witty responses.
No,
yeah, yeah, what's up?
I was waiting.
The lights off. I'm going to sleep.
He threatened me in the elevator.
Oh, you did you?
The mood light, yeah.
You didn't know who you were missing.
I didn't know I could have been kicked in the balls at any moment.
Very easily still can.
And then I warned him I was going to flip the script on him, which I successfully have done because he's quiet.
It's the lights, man. I'm going.
He's like, this is.
No, it's just interesting. It's an interesting story.
You know what? It's what I love about your story,
Jadina. Visual hug, Eddie.
Is you're a hustler. Like, you hustle, like, way more than most people I know, male or female, doesn't matter. And you have crossed genres, too. You know what I mean? And it's really exciting to see, like, you do something completely different than what... When I first met you, you were just doing blues. Mm-hmm. And then... I think you opened up for us. I think, Eddie, you were actually the videographer at the show that we
House of Blues.
House of Blues. And she was one of the opening acts.
Yes. I don't know. When was it? I
think you opened for us, I want to say 2010.
No.
2009.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I didn't videotape
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
2010.
Yeah. Dude, yeah.
I don't think I did.
I've got the footage, Eddie.
I don't think I did.
You're like, nap.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
Nap.
I think it was 2012 was when I started. Doing that.
Well, maybe it was 2012 then. When did you open? Do you remember?
It would have been 2010, 2011.
But the funny thing is, like, you know, my band, not that they're arrogant or anything like that, but, you know, they don't, they kind of like check out some of the opening acts. But you, when they heard you sing, they were like, they all came up to me like, man, that girl can sing her ass off. And I was like, I know, isn't it awesome? That makes me so proud.
When were you, you said you were on The Voice. When were you on The Voice?
2012.
So, let's talk what a happened with
about
that?
Yeah, talk about that experience.
Really cool experience. Nothing but mad love for that whole crew of people. They have, like, huge auditions, and I walked into the convention center, made my little time slot, didn't know anybody, never been any of that thing of that world. I went into a room with 12 people. I sang. They said, come back.
Nice.
I said, okay, when's the next comeback? They said, okay, we're going to do at this recording studio. Come back and do it again. We did it again. Next, we're going to go to this place, next audition. And it ended up being a 4-month process of meeting super, I get chills talking about it, super incredibly talented individuals. Like, really, just a cappella, you're just sitting there listening to people like Trevin Hunt, who went really far in my season, and just listening to him sing a cappella and going, I'm a fan!
That's crazy.
Shoot, man! Mm. I also realized that it was a TV show.
Yeah,
and
yes. Yeah, they have to do what they have to do.
There's a huge story around it, and there's a lot of label. Like, The Voice is very cool in that you don't have to not have a record deal. So a lot of the kids, participants, have record deals already going into that competition, already had a fan base, already had a following. Cassidy Pope won my season, and, you know, she's very... She was already famous, yeah. You know, had a huge career and a following underneath yeah. her, which is great because it just boosts her career to a yeah. whole new level. And she went number one in the country world. Like,
that's
go
crazy.
Girl. And today I feel like I have 200 artists that I watch and follow along and get to, like, support their career. And
did you sing in front of Christina Aguilera?
I sang in front of Christina, CeeLo, Adam, and Blake, yeah.
That's awesome. So it that did. Must have been, that's like your childhood dream right there. That's
yeah,
basically it right there.
It was really cool to watch her reaction because she was like, initially CeeLo was like, it sounds like you're nervous. You might watch it in the little audition thing. It's on
I'm sure
YouTube.
Christina was like, this girl can sing like I can sing. That's
she goes, I don't know why I didn't turn my chair. You sound just like me. Like, I'm kind of pissed at myself now.
And I can tell you why she didn't turn her chair, because she's intimidated that somebody sounds like
she's
her.
She's like, okay.
And that's never
happened.
Definitely
not turning my chair right now.
Yeah, yeah. She was just like questioning, like,
And then I'll act like, why didn't I turn my chair?
Yeah, that's true. It's
it
very
was such
true.
A good experience, though. I don't think I would do it again. I recognize what that world is about. And
right.
No.
Yeah.
I just have
well,
a
let's
vision.
Be real. Let's be real. What was it about? Like,
well, those shows are never truly
based
on talent.
I know, but that's like what people
that
need
one
to know.
Is.
But there's other things at play than just the talent.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. It's right. not, there's other, it's not just, let's put the best singer out there regardless of whatever is going on. There's other things at play. Like you said, there's people who have a fan base. Like,
and
okay,
a story. And a,
there's a story.
A
okay,
TV
if this person element. Wins, what can we do with them once they win with what they've already got?
Wait, let's have a little fun, okay? Let's have a little fun. What did you sing for your a cappella audition? Do you remember?
Bruno Mars, Runaway.
Can you sing a little bit for us?
Run away, baby.
You can give us a little bit more than
I
that.
Think that's all
no,
I remember.
Okay, okay, well, okay, do something else. Do something else a cappella.
What do you want
to
hear?
Anything, 45 seconds or something. Because I want to show the world how great you are. And you know what? It's like, we'll turn our chairs around all the time because you're fucking awesome. So let's talk
did
about...
You write a, did you write a check yet?
Ha! Here we go! No. Sing something a cappella. No track, nothing.
Listen,
so people can hear how good you are just the way you are.
If it was anybody else, I'd probably say no, but because you're
see?
The homie, I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, see? And I know that feeling, but you're one of those people like, you can do this. You can do this better than
I do
anybody.
This all the time.
Yeah, so I want to hear you sing a cappella.
Okay.
A cappella. What are you gonna sing us?
I'm just gonna do it. You're gonna.
All right.
Listen.
I like that.
Looking out on a morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Now I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. 'Cause you make me feel. Oh, you make me feel like a natural woman.
Woo! All right.
I always thought that song was man or a woman.
What?
You always make me feel like a man or a woman.
Nope.
I guess
I've never had that reaction to my singing.
You know what? That is
I've never heard the lyrics so
clearly. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. There are people that perform, that I watch, professional, non-professional, amateurs, all of it. And I don't get chills off everybody. I got chills so many times when you were singing.
Thank you.
And that's what it comes down to. It's like, can you move people? And you do move people.
Thank
and
you.
I cannot wait to see how many more people you move, because I feel like you're just like, this is like the tip of the iceberg for you. It's like a new direction. You have new music coming out. You're coming off that big single. You're coming off whatever momentum you created off The Voice. Tell me what you see, what's next for you.
I see this next album being the clearest representation of who I am and my vulnerability and my ability to write songs and my ability to connect with an audience in a way that I've never done before. I've never felt more present for my audience, for my following, for my family, for my friends, for my life. And I feel like I've honed the craft of being a woman in this industry. I really feel like I've kind of done a lot of work in a lot of areas to be prepared for what's coming. And it's not about the cash and prizes.
Right.
It's about giving and receiving love freely.
Yep.
And being able to be...
an instrument.
Be able to show up. You know, I just remember being that little girl and being like, I don't know who to talk to right now. Mariah?
Right.
You know, like, I want little girls to be like, I don't have anybody right now. I need to hear that song so I can feel better. And if I can be that for that little girl in some shack in an apartment in another country that has nobody that to listen to her, that I can be that voice.
That's awesome.
If I can do that, then I've...
So basically, you want to reach the little girl in Eddie.
That little girl's dead. That little girl, you know, died a long time ago.
You never know, Eddie. Where can people find you, Janina? Where can people find all of your music, all of your... I just bit my tongue. It's okay.
No,
it's all right. It's all right. Where can people find your music, your information, your bio, all that stuff?
Please go on to my Instagram. Follow me at Jadina, G-E-D-I-N-A, Jean, J-E-A-N. You can go to my Facebook page. Again, it's under Jadina. If you want to go on iTunes, you can go buy the current singles, which are out right now, Underwater, Start to Close In, featuring my good friend and fellow artist in the camp, MJ Ultra. You can go to my webpage, jadina.com. Tweet me at Jadina Jean. I mean, I'm just going to drop all the handles because I want to hear from you guys. I want to get to know you. I want to know what you like.
Well, I'm sure everybody wants to get to know you too.
Oh, and Snapchat. I'm really into Snapchat and posting little videos of me singing.
That's awesome.
I'm kind of a nerd like that, especially like if there's good reverb.
You're like, I want it to sound pretty.
Yeah, my friend Joel Van Dyke, he's a guitarist for Aloe Block. He's like, yo, G, all you do is post videos of you in the hallway singing. You got that natural reverb. I'm like, can you blame me? I mean, that's what I want.
You're like, that's what I want. Nope. That's what I want to do. Well, Jadina, we're going to have you back. And that was just awesome. I mean, I learned more about you in an hour than I've learned about you in years of knowing you. So
Thank
you for sharing your life, your music. We can't wait. One more time, where are you playing? August?
August 20th, downtown L.A. Go to my website, find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you will see all of the details about Ladies' Night with Reese and many other fantastic
love
artists.
Love it. Love it. On behalf of Eddie and I, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.